that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Can we pray, please? Father, enable me to communicate this profound truth this morning. Oh, Father, Holy Spirit and Son, Lord God, be very present amongst us in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that the word church is probably one of the most misunderstood words in the English language? When I say the word church, what do you think of? A building with a steeple? A religious denomination? What if I told you this morning that this is not a church, this here? This happens to be a chapel, a place of worship. The church meet in the chapel. Do you know you didn't come to church this morning? Actually, the church came into fellowship. I've heard people say, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be a part of the church. Well, actually, it's impossible to be a Christian at all unless you're part of the church. You see, the word church and the word Christian go together in the same way that the word sheep and the word flock go together. Or the word cow and the word herd. Or the word goose and the word gaggle. Listen, church is simply a collective noun for Christian. And yet so few people understand this. Do you know, years ago, a fellow came to my church when I was at Cape Town, and he said, I would like to join your church, please. And I thought, whoopee, another member. Please sit down, and we talked. And I said, first, just tell me your testimony. How did you meet the Lord? And he said, oh, no, I don't believe in all this stuff. He said, my wife just wants me to go to church, and I want to keep her happy. So, listen, I'll pay tithes, and I'll attend all the functions. How do I join? You see, this fellow had no idea that what he was asking was absolutely impossible. You can't just join a church like you join the public library. And this is where many people misunderstand what a church is. What is church? Today, we're going to be told exactly what church is. And as we read, I am certain you've got to be blind or stubborn not to clearly see the biblical definition of church clearly taught in our text today. So let me ask you, what is church? Church are people, very special people. People we read who are foreknown of God. They are loved from all eternity. They are people who are predestined to one day be like Jesus. Church are very, very special people. Well, if this is so, the obvious question is, how can I know today that I am foreknown and predestined? I mean, how can we apply this passage this morning to ourselves? Am I foreknown? Am I predestined? How can we know? Well, the answer's right in front of you in the text. Look at the writing there. Those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. And those he predestined, what? He also called. He called. Ekalesen. Listen, all true Christians, all genuine members of God's church are people who have been called. In fact, the Greek word for church in the New Testament is the word ekklesia, which simply means the called ones. All those who have been foreknown and predestined of God are called. So what is church? Church is a gathering of God. A gathering of people called of God. And if you've been called, according to this passage, it's because you were predestined. And if you're predestined, it's because you were foreknown. Do you see Paul's argument here? Now, you may be thinking, okay, I get what you're saying, and you can't argue with the text because that's obviously what it's saying. But hold on. How do you know if you've heard the call or not? What is this call that makes us members of the church? Is it a certain voice that you hear in your head? Do Christians hear sounds that other people don't hear? What's this call? Well, we don't hear God's call in a physical way. We hear physical sounds with our ears. We have organs on our head that hear sound. But the call of God is not a physical sound. It's something spiritual. The organ of hearing spiritual sound is your conscience. And we call the hearing of God conviction. Conviction. To hear God's call, the Spirit takes the word and makes that word activate your conscience, and you become convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when this happens, you just know that you know that God has spoken to you. And I can only explain this in my own life, because we can only speak for ourselves, can't we? I know for many years, when people dragged me to church, I'd hear the sermons. Sometimes I'd hear very good sermons. And I understood intellectually what the preacher was saying. Sometimes I was entertained by the good messages. But I never believed what I heard. I couldn't believe. You see, I was spiritually deaf. My conscience was seared. But one day, and I can't remember exactly when it happened, but one day I remember hearing a sermon on Christ's crucifixion, and you know what? I blubbed like a baby, and I didn't know what hit me. It was as if what I was hearing was hitting the depth of my conscience. And you know what? Once you've heard this call of God, this conviction of spirit and word, you can never go back. You can never be the same again. Once God's spoken to you, you become conscious of the spiritual reality all around you. And this is what makes you a Christian. This is what makes you a part of the church. You are ecclesia, called out by the Spirit. Jesus puts it this way in John chapter 10. He said, "My sheep are those who hear my voice." And then he says to the Pharisees in the same chapter a little later on, they don't believe him. And he says, "You're not my sheep, because my sheep are those who hear my voice." That's what defines them, in other words. Do you hear the call of God? Do you know what? You can't lie to yourself. Every one of you knows right now, deep in your conscience, whether or not you hear God's call. We know how easy it is to act and pretend with one another. We all do it. But it's impossible to lie to your own conscience. And if God has called you, if you have been convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment by the Spirit and the Word, you'll know all about it. And I can say to you, if it's true for you this morning, if you're called, it's because you're predestined to one day be like Christ, Paul says here. And the reason you're predestined is because you were foreknown, loved from all eternity. So, are you called this morning? Is your conscience hearing by conviction? I tell you this because here's the challenge now. Now we have to come to the bad news. Most people in this world are spiritually deaf. Most people are blinded in the heart by the God of this age, and they are unable to hear the call of God. It's very possible that there may be people here this morning who are spiritually deaf. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we're told this, listen, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them." You see, not everyone can hear the call of God. Jesus put it this way in the Gospels. Whenever he preached, he would close his message with a challenge. "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Do you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, the ecclesia, this morning? Do you know, two men can be sitting in the same church service, listening to the same sermon, and they can both be equally attentive, equally intelligent, and yet one will be sitting on his chair, drinking in the Word of God, and the other will be yawning and stretching and wishing he could go home and watch football. The church in the New Testament is the called ones. That's what it literally means. Those who are spiritually convicted. Those who have ears to hear what God is saying. There was a poem written over a century ago now called "The Pied Piper of Hamelin." Remember it? You should. And anyway, it's a story about a man that's got a magic flute. And whenever he plays his flute, all the children get up and follow him. You see, there's magical power in this flute that attracts children. And if you're a child, when he plays, you know the children are all going to get up and follow. Now, I could put it this way. God calls by his Word and Spirit. And all those that hear and follow are the church, the called ones. Okay, so maybe now you realize how terribly misunderstood that word church is in our day and age. I told you about the man who didn't even believe in God, but he wanted to join the church because his wife wanted him to join. You may say, that's crazy. But you know what? That's what many people think. Do you know the Roman Catholics teach that a person becomes a church by being splashed with baptismal water. He just did a little splash and, hey presto, you're a member of the church. There are many people, maybe even here today, that seem to think the church is some glorified... Now that happened, but anyway. The church is some glorified lions club, a do-gooders club, or a religious organization, and you join it like you join Tesco Society or something. Listen, church are baptized, church are religious, church do lots of good things, yes. But they are church for one reason and one reason only. They have been called. They're convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So here's my challenge this morning. Are you one of the church? Hey, ecclesia theou, are you called of God? Has your conscience been activated by the Word and the Spirit? Are you convicted? To be convicted is to hear the call. 250 years ago, the great hymn writer Charles Wesley, I don't like his brother at all, but Charles Wesley wrote some good hymns. He put it this way, one of his most famous hymns. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine power infused a quickening ray. Now, what does that mean? Like a ray gun. He shot a ray, a life-giving ray into his heart. I woke, the dungeons flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That is the call. Do you this morning hear the call? Does God's word convict you? Then I can tell you this, regardless of your denomination, you are church. And let me put it this way, according to our reading today, you have been called, brother, sister, we read, because you were predestined to be like Jesus. And you're predestined because you were foreknown. You've always been loved by God from all eternity. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's what God is saying in this passage to children of God. That's why he goes on later to say, if God is for us, who can be against us? Because if you're one of the called, you're one of the predestined. And if you're one of the predestined, you're one of the foreknown. If you're not predestined this morning, you will not hear the call of God. And I can say this in all honesty, and I hope I stir you up to search it out. If you're not predestined, you're not called. But you know what? It won't bother you at all, because probably you weren't even listening to me anyway. Or else it's all gone in one ear and out the other, and you're wishing I'd shut up so you can go home and watch football. There's nothing I can do to convict you. Only the Spirit can do that. But if you're irritated and disturbed by what I just said, maybe God's beginning to call you. For goodness sake, hear what the Spirit is saying. And we should be encouraged this morning as Christians. We're told in the Bible that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. All those who are called must and will be justified and glorified one day. Are you called? We read these words in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 48. Acts 13, 48. Listen. When the Gentiles heard the gospel, they were glad and honored the word of God. And all who were appointed to eternal life believed. Who believed the gospel? All who were appointed to eternal life. Now that word appointed in the original language is the word tetagmenoi. Tetagmenoi. Look it up when you get home. And that word is rooted to our English word predestined. Do you see what the Bible's saying this morning? All of those predestined are those who are called. It's those who are tetagmenoi to eternal life, who believe. Do you hear the call of God this morning? If you do, you're one of God's church. Hey, you don't need a piece of paper to say you're part of Cold Harbor. Doesn't matter what denomination you go to. If you've heard the call and you're following the call, your church. And if you're called, we read here, you're called because you were predestined to one day be like Jesus. And you're predestined because you're foreknown of God. Do you know the Puritans used to call this passage we're looking at here the golden chain of redemption? That's what they called it. Why do you think they called it that? Why was it called the golden chain of redemption, those two verses? Notice there are five links to this chain that stretch from eternity past to eternity to come. Foreknown, link one. Predestined. Called, justified, glorified. There are five links to the chain. Do you see it? Stretching from the beginning of eternity to when we meet the end of it. And the Puritans used to teach their children like this. They would say, children, how do you know that you're predestined? How do you know you're foreknown? How do you know that you're justified? How do you know you'll get glory one day? Well, there are five links. What's the middle link? Come on, humor me. Called. If you are called, salvation is yours. You are church. What does it say in Romans 8:28? God works for the good in all those who love him. Who are those who love him? Those who are called according to his purpose. My prayer is that you will hear the call of the kingdom and you'll realize that is the activation of all Christianity. It starts with the call. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, I just pray that your word will reach hearts and minds and that we will realize, Lord, the power of the word when the Spirit brings it into the hearts of men. Oh, Father, please vindicate your word even now. May the call of the kingdom be loudly heard. Amen. We're going to close with the hymn now. After the hymn, we'll be having communion. So I'll be stepping down just now. If you have to leave, if you cannot stay for communion, we understand and we'll give you a chance to get up and leave. But we'd love you, if you're called, to take part in the church's holy meal. The King. Pray for that power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. And we know that power is the call of the kingdom. Father, we pray that that call will go out to many thousands in this land. And may you use our church as a mouthpiece of that call. In Jesus' name, amen.